This part of it actually came from thinking about the funeral yesterday and the testimony. Oh, I had it marked still. Ha ha. Romans chapter number 14. I was actually thinking about verse number 7. And when I felt like that was where the Lord was leading me, I went to it. And I began to read here in Romans 14. And I came to verse number 9. Romans 14, verse number 9, and that's where I'm taking my thought for tonight, just a simple sermon. Romans 14, 9 says, "For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living." And my thought comes from that part, Lord, both of the dead and living. As I was thinking about the testimony that this man has that I never met, and I'm about to mess up at Norbert, I keep trying to confine his middle initial because now he got L stuck in my head now. Why is there L there? Why is it not his middle name? So now I keep trying to put the L on the front of his name and Norbert. And I'm like, that's not right. I was talking to Crystal earlier. But I was thinking about that, what God says here, that he might be the Lord, or Lord, both of the dead and living. And I was thinking about that. Those that are dead, obviously, if they died in Christ, I mean, they're there. So I was thinking about what is he talking about here? He's talking about the testimony of whether you're dead or whether you're living. But he also adds in here, he says it might be. See, because I believe there's a lot of Christians in our day and time that are saved, but Jesus is still not Lord of their life. There's a difference here. Again, most of you know I'm not much. I'm like Brother Coon there. I feel like I'm not an educated man. I don't speak Greek. I don't speak Hebrew. You probably feel the same way, brother. Of course, you said you went to Bible college. I went too, and I couldn't, you know, just too much with four kids, and I need to get back doing it again. But I was thinking about this. I said, Lord, there's something, I don't know why, like you said, it's hard to explain. Somebody that's lost, they just don't understand the Holy Spirit. They don't understand how it works. And you know, just like when a call to preach, I believe in a call to preach. When God's working on a man to call him to preach, the only other person that's going to understand it is a preacher. Somebody that's never, and it's not trying to put off on people that's never been called. I'm just telling you, when I ask, I want to hear you call to preach. You know, is it when I bring a missionary in, when I'm bringing a man in to preach to my people, I want to know that he's got a call to preach. And so the Holy Spirit was working on me, and I thought, there's something more to this. And so let me pray real quick before I get in deep this. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, that I made you Lord of my life, God. But it is, as kind of what Paul says, is a daily thing. It is a daily thing to allow you to be Lord of our life. And God, you do own us. You purchased us. And then you've given us liberty. But God, it's more than that. Those of us that are saved and sold out, God, we want more than that. We want you to be Lord of our life, God. And I know there's some out here that are saved and they're not living like they're supposed to, and you're not the Lord in their life, as in what this verse is talking about here. So help me, God, to just, Lord, I have a hard time taking what you've given me in my heart and what I feel like you've showed me, and I feel like I fall short every time, Lord, giving it to these people. Help me now tonight, please, by the work of the Holy Spirit, to give them what you've showed me in this verse and through these verses around here about you being the Lord, both of the dead and the living. I pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I was looking at this verse, and if you've noticed, the word Lord appears all through this chapter. He says it in verse 6. He says it in verse number 8. verse 11. But I just felt like I said there's something else to the one in verse number 9. There's something that was just, I don't know why. I mean, again, it's the Holy Spirit of God just drawing me to there. And again, I'm not no Bible scholar. I just sometimes I look at the Strong's and I look at those things and see. And so I looked in there and I realized the word here in this verse is different than the other Lords. Now, it's not a different in translation. It means similar to it. But the word Lord in all the other ones, it's the title given to him. It's like the title of Lord. They used to say, you know, Lord Cornwallis, Lord this. It's the title that we've given God. And so God is the Lord. He is our Lord and Savior. He's who redeemed us. But the one in verse number 9, actually, it means a little different. It means to actually have that dominion over them.
Amen.
It means that he actually rules over, and that's what he says, that you might be Lord. See, there's a lot of people that are saved, and no doubt in my mind, there's a lot of people that are saved. I know I've lived it. But God is not the Lord daily in your life. That's what, and God already turned this thought over in my mind when something was brought to my attention. And we often get accused of, the way we preach and how we preach and what we preach, we often get accused of we're the ones that are the cult. Because we tell people that you're supposed to live by the Bible. The sad part is all these other religions and denominations, they'll claim the same thing. They'll claim, well, we preach the Bible too. But they don't preach it like God intended it. They don't preach it like God said about separation like I preached on Sunday. And about being different. We as Independent Baptists, and it's not just us, there are a few others, but we believe that salvation is fully nothing but by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's nothing that you can add to it. All these other religions and denominations and churches add works and church membership and baptism and communion and all these other things, and we tell you that none of that matters.
Amen.
And whether you serve God a day in your life after you become saved does not add any more to your salvation.
Right.
It just shows that God is the Lord of your life. That he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. And so many people may be saved, but God is not the Lord of their life. What does it mean to be Lord? It means to let God have that rule, that authority in your life where he tells you how to live, how to be separated, how to do the things. And we get accused of being a cult because I preach against sin, I preach against alcohol. I'm not afraid to name those things.
Amen.
And for doing that, I get labeled as being a cult. There's not a person in here that if you're saved, you'd be any less saved by not being a member of this church. If you're truly saved, being a member of this church is not going to add to your salvation.
Amen.
If you're truly saved, that water is not going to add anything. Matter of fact, if you go out and sin, it's not going to take away your salvation.
Amen.
Once you're in relationship with God, he never breaks that. Once you're brought back in, once you've been purchased, once you've been redeemed, once God has settled that sin debt, it's settled. The Bible says once Christ died, once for our sins.
Amen.
So whatever you do after you get saved is not going to remove your salvation. It'll remove your fellowship with God.
Right.
It'll make sure that God's not the Lord in your life. Why do I preach so hard, preacher? Why do you preach so hard? Because I'm sick of people that claim the name of Christ and then go out and live any way they want to. And then when I try to go win somebody that is lost, somebody that truly is not saved, and I go tell them that alcohol drinking's wrong, that shacking up's wrong, that this is wrong, drugs is wrong, cigarettes, like all these things are wrong. They say, well,
Well, such and such goes down to that such and such church.
Yeah.
They're a Christian. They drink. I've been told, and you know, y'all know me, I try not to say too many things about others as far as I just call out their, I call out their beliefs. I call out their doctrine. But I was told not long after we moved here that they said, I can't believe you preach against alcohol. And I, just because I won't even say the denomination, but one of the denominations, other denominations here in town said, our pastor used to go with us to the bowling alley and buy rounds of beer with us. And I thought, that's the reason we can't win people to Christ. There's no difference between us and the world. Lord Jesus is not the Lord of their life. And it was an honor yesterday to be in a funeral where people, the family, the pastor, without... we've been in them. You probably, maybe you have too, brother. I've been in funerals where the pastor choked or got up there and lied and choked on his words because he knew the things he said behind that pulpit weren't true about the man or woman sitting in that casket or the body sitting in that casket. He didn't choke one time. He didn't have, matter of fact, I thought it was a great testimony when he talked. When he talked about, hey, in fact, not only when he talked about him being on time so much in time, he said, what did he say? He had a meeting at 9:30 with him and he showed up at like 9:15 and he was already there. I thought, dear Lord, that's the total opposite of me. Don't worry, brother, I'm the same way. But this man said they talked about his funeral. And this man already knew at his funeral what he wanted and what he wanted to say and what this man said yesterday. The pastor there at Faith Fellowship Church said, then he said, I don't want you to talk about me. I want you to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about God.
Amen.
And then he said, fine, but just so you know, I'm going to be there and you won't or something like that. And But he said, and just hear those few words of Danae and them and others. I can't remember, that was your brother, right, that got up. And to hear him talk about his love for the Word of God. And that's what really, I mean, when I was here today and I'm looking through Scripture and I'm thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to preach on? And I came to that, I don't know what brought it, for none man, none of us liveth to himself, no man. And I wasn't even really thinking about the funeral, but when I got down to verse number 9, I thought about that of the dead and the living. And how this man, you said it wasn't raised, y'all weren't raised in church, but to a certain point, right? His mom and dad weren't in church. But the difference just one man has made by getting in church and getting saved. Did your mama get saved first or him or about the same time? She was a Christian. But the difference it makes having two parents in a home that are saved.
Amen.
And sold out to God.
Amen.
And the fact that this man now has had to where now he's dead. But all those people there that knew him, I never met him, just seeing those three people that knew him and his testimony, getting up and giving that kind of testimony, that even though he's dead, he's still the Lord of his life. In that sense, enough that it affected his kids and his grandkids. And I've heard stories about that. I've heard stories like Brother Shepherd telling me about, I think it was his grandpa, and getting in church, and if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure that's who it was. And I've heard stories, and I can't remember if Brother Shepherd's grandpa or somebody else was telling me that their grandpa couldn't even read, but just got in church and got saved, and that difference it made in somebody's life. And that's what I want. I have a godly fear. I have a godly fear. That's one of the reasons I serve God the way I do. Number two, I got four reasons right now as to why I preach like I do and live like I do. If there ain't a person in this town that would have ever got saved, I still got four little ones that are looking up to me. And they want to see a difference. Why? What makes Daddy different than the preacher over here? What makes Daddy different than the so-called Christian over here on the bar stool? What makes him different?
And I want him to be able to say that Jesus is really the Lord of his life. That he is the Lord, might be Lord of his living life. And in my death, they'll be able to say the same thing. So what does it mean to make Jesus Lord in this sense? It's to allow him to have that dominion, that lordship, that authority over him. When you see the Lord in those other ones, it's just acknowledging his title. But that one in verse number 9 is you're acknowledging and giving him that dominion over you. Number 2, what does it take to let him be Lord over your life? Look at 7 and 8. Just like I just said, for none of us liveth to himself. If us Christians would realize that.
Amen.
For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto God, and whether we die unto God. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We are, if we're saved, we're the Lord's. Now the question is, do you live unto yourself or unto others? So it doesn't matter, even Joe over here that most of y'all know that came for a little bit, who tries to be a recluse and tries to be a hermit, he's still not living to himself. He's still affected others. Most of you in here probably knew Joe long before we ever did. What if Joe would have been a Christian instead of what he is? What if Joe was saved? You'd have a different opinion of him. You think sometimes, well, it doesn't pay to live for God, but it does.
Amen.
I was listening to a song today, and y'all probably, if just one more, and I'm gonna try to get Brian out and learn this for Sunday. If just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it's worth everything. And it's true. And even if one soul doesn't, there's already been several that have. Even if we don't see nobody else walk down and give their heart to Jesus, when they come in and I give them the gospel, it's still worth it. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I can't make you. I'm not going to. We're going to be accused. I want to warn y'all, because it's going to come.
I guess I should probably preach something like this a little bit sooner. It's going to come. One of the things that we as Infinite Baptists get accused of is being cold, because we preach the Word of God. Without diluting it, without compromising. Most of it. There are some that do. I'm too afraid, brother. You've probably heard the same. Whatever a church, whatever a pastor refuses to preach against will be what comes into the church. That's why I told you. That's why I preach so hard.
Yeah. I preach it. I'm not going to make you live it. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you start living it, people are going to tell you stuff. I think I told y'all, maybe not. Brother Rudd told me the other day, a man that he's been witnessing to, I think it was at the hardware store. No, don't quote on that, but anyway, it's a man he said I've been talked to off and on witnessing to. He said the guy followed him out to his car about 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer. I lose track of time too, I'm young, brother. And he said, the guy came to him and he said, is it true that men have to wear a suit to come into your church? Brother Rudd said, absolutely not. You know, we believe that y'all can give the best you can to God. We believe y'all to try. Why? He's God. He's done what he's done for. Y'all give him the best you got. That's why you give him the first 10%. Because he's worthy of that. But I'm not gonna tell. Listen, I preach the way that I believe the Bible teaches that women ought to dress. I preach the way that men ought to dress. I'm not gonna go out and watch you and follow you, walk around with a yardstick to wait to pop you on the head. It ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen. I'm not. I've seen too many preachers in my 20 years being saved burn out because they get so. It's a heart issue. Is what it is. Let me just start where the heart of the issue is the heart. If your heart's right, you'll do right. If your heart is right, you'll let the Lord be that authority, that dominion in your life. You'll let Him teach you to love God's Word. Nobody probably, after your daddy got saved, nobody probably had to
force him. He fell in love with God's Word because the Lord Jesus became the Lord of his life. And because of that, it affected you and your brother and at least a sister I know of. Did you have any? That's it. And then it affected their spouses, whether they're saved or not. That's between them and God. But it affected his three children, their spouses. Now it's affected his grandkids and going down into his great-grandkids.
Amen.
It pays. One of these days, whether you rather want to admit it or not, one of these days, you're going to stand before one of two places. You'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and those of us that are saved. And we'll give an account talked about of the things that we do in our flesh, whether it was a spiritual thing or a fleshly thing. But then there's those that are lost. They'll stand before the great white throne of judgment. And guess who else will be there? Those of us that are saved. The last thing that I want to see is one of my daughters bound hand and foot and cast into a lake of fire because I refuse to live the way God wrote in His Word, the way that God said for Him to be Lord of my life and allow Him, because I'm not going to live to myself and I'm not going to die to myself. The way that I live on a daily basis tells my children whether it's real in my life.
Amen.
And it'll tell my grandchildren one of these days if God don't come back. I hear so much, I don't even ask. I hear so much about these other pastors and Christians in this town and in this county. I don't want to know. It just comes to me. And you know, again, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I knew it was going to come. I knew what people was going to tell me. Why? Because somebody that really willing to admit that they're lost, they're really looking for something real. And too many Christians are fake. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Hold on a minute, Jesus. I got to pick up my beer and drink it. Yeah. I got to go smoke my cigarettes, smoke my dope. I got to go tell lies on Monday. And I got to go do this. I got to change everything about me come Monday because I don't want the world to know that I'm really saved because Jesus ain't the Lord. What does it take? It takes realizing that He's with us every day anyway. It's just allowing Him to take control of us. Allowing Him to have that control. What does it do? Last of all, what does it do when Christ, when He becomes our Lord? Verses number 11, it says, For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. You see that? So you're going to, whether you want to or not. The question is, are you going to do it in a humble spirit or are you going to be forced to? Every knee. These people that, listen, when I think of every knee, I don't think of this. That's not humble to a lot of people. This is what he means. Every knee is going to bow. Both knees will be bowed down before him. That when I look at that picture and I think every knee shall bow, those that are lost and those that are saved, they will come. You'll either do it in this life and confess Him as Lord and Savior, or you'll do it in the next before you're cast into the lake of fire. Every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but rather judge this, that no man be put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If there's something in your life that somebody says, well, I think that's sin. Years ago, I get this example, and again, I believe it's a personal thing. But I've said it before, in case there's anybody here. Years ago, I don't remember, it had to be either she's either pregnant with Brianna or she was a baby. My wife's sister looked at my wife and said, I don't see a difference between the earrings in your ear and the one in my belly button. And my wife, I didn't have to say anything to her. My wife said, If that's going to be a stumbling block, if that's what's going to be to keep her from, I won't do it. My wife has not worn earrings in that in 13, 14 years at least.
Amen.
I'm not saying you got to. I understand the Bible talks about earrings. He talks about the Old Testament. I believe he's talking about rings that actually went on their ears. But again, it's not clear. So it's not something to fight about. I know something. But it was a stumbling block to her sister. One of these days, at the great white throne of judgment, because her sister's lost, she'll not be able to say, well, I saw the sin in her life and she didn't do nothing about it. Nope. God's going to look at her and say, you remember that you claimed was the unclean thing? She took it out. She changed just for you, just to show it did. And you still didn't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's some things. We've talked about it. There's some things. The book of Hebrews talks about it. Chapter 12, I think it is, or 13, but I think it's chapter 12. He says, setting the weights and sins that do so easily beset us. There's some things that are not sin, necessarily. But it's a weight because somebody else sees it. If somebody comes in here, I'll put it this way. Let's say that we got somebody coming visiting that was a vegan or a vegetarian, however, I don't even know what's the newest trend and how it works. I'm not trying to pick on it, but y'all know how I feel. I love me. But if they came in on Tuesday night and they were offended because when we have fellowship back here, we have meat, we would either do one of two things. We either stop having fellowship or we would stop bringing in meat. I get some of you may not get mad at me at first, but I would rather take that stumbling block out of the way so that they can't say, well, that's what Paul's talking about in the book of Corinthians when he's talking about every man let it. He's not saying you can't have fellowship at the church. He's saying if that fellowship's going to cause brothers to get upset because back then we don't really understand what it really means to be poor. We have some people talking about it in our daytime. You probably heard stories. Some of you older that had grandmas and grandpas, moms and dads that went through the depression, things like that, or lived. Some of you's grandparents back in 1800. You knew. They knew what it meant to be poor. 2021, we're so poor. We're burning down people's buildings and then turn around and build them right back up again. That's how poor we are as a nation. I'm not saying there's not. There are some poor people in here. But as a whole, our country is not poor. We've let things that stop people from seeing the light in us. We've let things in our life or we're not letting Jesus be the Lord of our life. He says here, it is written, we're all going to bow before him. What does it do when he becomes Lord of your life? When he does, he takes control. Look at some verses real quick. Go to Galatians 2:20. We get through these three or four verses right here, or the sections. I'm going right by. Yeah. Galatians 2:20. Here's what Paul says, and I liked what Paul said here. There's also another one where he talks about I die daily. He's dying to self. What does it do when he becomes Lord? When he becomes Lord, we'll let him have control. First, Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, you know what? He said, I could have prospered in the Jewish religion. I could have gone out and found me a different job. He had occupation. He was a tent maker. Well, a lot of times we can make more money, but Brother Tim, I told y'all, Brother Tim was, I think, 3 years from retirement from the military when he stepped out by faith to do what he's been doing now for 30-some years. 3 years short of retirement from the military. Why? Because Brother Tim realized it's not him that lives. God's going to take care of him. And they have. They've been through some rough spells. They keep buying them forwards. I don't know why, but they've been through some rough spells. But look where they're at. Look at the churches, man. They can't even remember all the churches that they've helped. The people, churches that are standing right now, I think all four of them now, right, is
Brother Tim helped all four of them here in Kansas, and Brother Shepherd's, I think he worked on all four of them. He's worked on this one, and he's worked on, I think they're up to, I think he said about 17, I think around 17 churches just in Kansas that they've helped, that are up and going, most of them still, that they've got a part in. Why? Because they let Jesus be the Lord of their life. He wasn't just their Savior. He was that extra step. Go to James chapter 1. Because I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians. And then we'll go back to Romans. I'm going to do a round trip. James chapter number 1. He says in verse 21. What the good part is, when I'm getting ready to preach, man. Whew. Here's what he says here. James chapter 1, go down to verse number 21. I'm about to go down too far. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, and I always have trouble with servility of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted words. You see what he's saying? Receive with meekness. Don't get mad because I get up here and preach against these things. Don't get mad because I preach against your sin. There's times I step on my own toes too. Thank God. The Lord for it, because men have stepped on mine and got me in the heart, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Again, how many Christians have deceived their own selves? How many people? There are Christians, again, that aren't Jesus ain't the Lord of their life, but they are saved. But there's a lot of people that claim the name of Christ, but they're deceiving their own selves, he says. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And he goes on saying, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That's what I have trouble with. I sat there on the church pew, I told you, and I would sit there and the preacher would get up and preach about the tongue. And I said, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, Lord. Oh, yes, my filthy words come out of my mouth. He said, your religion's vain. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Not in their good times, in their bad times. Not be afraid to go down here. God gives us the opportunity. God opens doors. Man, I go down here to the nurse home as much as I can. I didn't know how much they let us in here being with everything going on. But then I found out, the lady told me that most of the other ones are refusing to go in there at all. And they've been here for years. Your religion's vain, the Bible says. If you won't listen, if somebody's in their time of need, on their deathbed, and they need somebody to come pray for them, I don't care what they've been. I don't care if they've been a Buddhist their whole life. I don't care if they've been a Hindu, a Muslim. If they want somebody to come in there and witness to them and pray over them, pray with them, that's what I'll do. Amen. I'm not going to pass that up an opportunity. But James said, if you're a doer, if you're like a man, if you hear the word of God, you hear what I'm preaching about being saved, or you are saved and you're hearing about being sold out, he said, you're like a man that looks in his face in the natural glass. You see yourself and then you go away. I forget what it was. That's what it means. You hear the word of God, you hear the Bible preached, and you read the word of God. He said, I'm not going to live like that. He said, your religion's vain. He said, yeah, he's a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. I'm blessed, man. I've been blessed beyond measure. Go with me back over. Stop at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick, and then we're going to go back to Romans, and I'm going to be done. We read this, I think it was this Sunday or last Sunday. I forgot myself. Sunday. I read this verse, but I want to stop at it. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth me. That I didn't really go into that Sunday, so I thought it'd be all right. For the love of Christ constraineth me. God's love's what keeps me from doing what I do. Because he loved me enough to die for me and shed his blood to have me spit upon him, to have that crown of thorns beat into his brow, and to have his flesh ripped away from him. That's why I live the way I try to live. That's why I preach the way I try to preach. That's why I try to give you the standards and what the Bible says without mixture and without a compromise. I try to give you the pure word of God because the love of Christ constraineth me. He loved me. You got here too late to convince me evolution's true.
Amen.
You got here too late to try to convince me that we evolved from a bunch of monkeys. Man, he saved me in November 2000. I've never been the same. I ain't always served him like I should, but he's always been faithful to me.
Amen.
And his love's what constrains me to live like I do. Why my daughters are forced until they get to their own convictions, forced to dress the way they are. He's the reason I get to go to church. I don't have to go to church because his love constraineth me.
That's right.
Go back over to Romans chapter 14. I'm going to finish up here. Verse number 16. Romans 14. 16, we read 14, 15, well, let me say 15. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy him not with thy meat, for whom Christ died. That was supposed to go with that other part where I was talking about. I went into it and didn't read that one. Anyway, now verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. You know how your good's evil spoken of? Because I don't care if you feed everybody in this town for a month. If you turn around and steal from every one of them, you think they're going to remember you feeding them? No. They're going to say, man, that hypocrite. He may have fed us for a month, but he's a thief. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. How is your good evil spoken of? When you do good, but then you turn around and do something to Christians. It's amazing. You can go to the world and ask the world, what's a Christian? I've done it. I don't know if y'all ever have. I've done this to people. I know it's hard to find people that admit they're lost, but I've had some that do, or people that admit that they're atheists or claim to be atheists. I've never met a true atheist. Most of them are just bitter on God. They're not really atheists. They're just bitter on God. And I said, what's a true Christian? And they'll say, well, somebody that lives according to the standards of the Bible. I said, well, what does that mean? Well, they don't drink. They don't cuss. They don't play the lottery. They don't gamble. They're at church like they're supposed to. I said, it's amazing that lost people in the world knows what a Christian is, but Christians don't.
Amen.
And when a preacher gets up and actually preaches what the Bible says a Christian is supposed to, he's referred to as a cult. Again, I'm not going to make you live it. I got four little ones. I told them, I said, this is a grown woman. I can't make her live it. Because she's still her own. I can make those four because they're under my authority. Now the second that they're 18 and they don't want to abide by my authority, you know what happens to them? They're gone. Why? Because it's a disqualification of a preacher. Now I won't kick them out because I want to stay qualified to preach. But while they live in my house, I done told you, you can stay in my house as long as you want to, but you're going to abide by my rules. I don't care whether you're 15, 25, 35, or 45. Yeah. While you live in my house and you eat the bread that God provides, you'll go to church when we tell you to. You'll dress the way we tell you to. You won't be alone with no boy when we tell you to. It's just never. I thought that's what she's going to say. She's going to say, I don't date, I court. That's what I was expecting. I was going to say, amen. He said, don't let your good be evil spoken of. Let me move on. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That's why it'd be better just to cancel the fellowship. If that offends somebody, if somebody was to come in here on Tuesday night and be offended by that, if Brother Mike was offended by that because he's a diabetic and we get to eat late and he don't get to, then we'd cancel that. But, you know, we understand that the rest of the week he's eating baked potatoes and running sugar up, so on Tuesday nights he can't stay late because of that. No, you know, it's not something to fight about. That's what Paul's talking about when he was talking about to the Corinthian church. There's some things that are not worth fighting about. Just don't do it at church. If you can't do it without fighting, because you do have people that want to meet and some that don't, just don't do it at church. If somebody got offended because we did breakfast, I hope that somebody wouldn't. Then we just wouldn't do it. That would be really hard for me because I'm from the South and we like to eat. Amen. So I said, that's why we all overweight and diabetic down there, man. It's either fried or smothered in sugar. One of the two. I mean, you know. Or gravy, yeah. It's your three choices. Gravy, sugar, or fried. Just choose which way you want it. For the kingdom of God's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the holy. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm not miserable. I'm happy. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Again, if it offends them, then don't do it. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. It is offended, or is made weak. Again, that's one of the reasons. Y'all know I'm totally against alcohol whatsoever. But you won't catch me going to Applebee's or any of these other places. You won't come by my table and see a virgin strawberry daiquiri or a virgin pina colada with no alcohol in it. Why? Because it's the appearance of it. Because there'll be people that come by, sure as the world, you could go to Applebee's or wherever 100 times, and the one time you order something like that, though it's not nothing wrong with it, it's pure, virgin, and there's no alcohol, sure as the world, you can count them. And that's why I tell you, that's why I don't ride around with the other men's wives. That's why I don't go eat dinner with other men's wives or anything like that. Because sure as the world, as soon as you go do it, somebody's going to drive by and say, I saw the Baptist preacher riding around with such and such's wife. I wonder what they're up to. Mm-hmm. You don't think that won't happen? I moved my office stuff from the house to here. And people were coming to me. Y'all already moving out? What? Yeah, we heard you was loading stuff up in y'all's truck. Y'all already leaving? No, I'm moving my office to the church. That was from we moved in November, and then whenever we got the office done, August, September. We moved 2018, 2019, so less than a year, I moved my office from the house to the church. We finally got it ready, and somebody was already spreading rumors I was moving out. It don't take long. I'm telling you. It is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine. Verse number 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Again, that's what Paul's talking. We're the Lord both of the dead and the living. What does it mean for him to be Lord there? It means for him to have that actual authority. You know, there are a lot of people, most of us in here may have seen movies, of the way that kings were in England and how they may have been Lord, but there was a lot of people that didn't submit to that authority. It's a difference when he's at authority. What does it mean? What does it take to let him be Lord? It's you just taking the hands off the wheel and say, Lord, here's my life. What would you have me to do? What does it do when he becomes Lord? There'll be a difference in your life, people can see. You won't just be a hearer of the word. You'll be a doer of the word, like James says. And we should be. And again, y'all know the way I am. I don't think he did. Did he didn't have no TV? Did you? Did you have a TV when y'all moved in? No. I didn't think he did.
We just don't have coverage.
Okay. I know some of the older men, I didn't even remember seeing one, so I figured you just didn't have one. I told them, I said, there'll be some that they'll preach against. Say,
Again, if you come to my house and you didn't like to, you know what we do? We cut it off. I'm not going to sit there and feed you.
Some men would have it. Why? Because it's not fun. If you come, if somebody come to me as I invite the preacher in and I was asking, you know, what's some things you don't eat? And he was to say, meat, what's the last thing I'm going to set before him?
Meat. We're supposed to let the Lord, we're supposed to live that example as Christians. Too many people claim the name of Christ, but Christ is not the Lord, that authority in their life.
Where do we get that from? We get it from prayer and the Word of God. The Word of God's preached to you. You're to read it, learn it. That's how you make Jesus the Lord, both of the dead and the living. To have that testimony. You want that testimony?
One of them says that, was it Balaam? And he wanted to die the death of the righteous. To die the death of the righteous, you got to live. To have somebody be able to get up at your funeral and say, he loved God's word, you got to love God's word. I'm not going to give up my life for you.
Amen.
I'm not going to do it. If you want that Jesus to be Lord of your life, then you need to make him Lord of your life.
My Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time, Lord. I pray that you would bless now, this evening, the fellowship and all that'll go on. I pray that you would help us to put you as Lord of our lives, God. I pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open. I'm going to give an altar call this evening. The altar's open if you need it.